In 1958, a Mexican-American teenager named Richie Valens had three songs on top of the rock and roll charts: Come On, Let's Go, Donna, and La Bamba. La Bamba was a popular Latin folk song that Valens adapted to a rock and roll beat. Richie Valens grew up in various California migrant labor camps and poor neighborhoods near Los Angeles. His music brought him and his family out of poverty, but his career was short-lived. After only 8 months in the spotlight, Valens died in a plane crash along with Buddy Holly and the Big Bopper. Valens was the first Chicano rock and roll star. After his death, he remained a hero to many young Chicanos. The life of Richie Valens is the subject of a new film called La Bamba. It stars newcomer Lou Diamond Phillips and was written and directed by playwright Luis Valdez. Valdez is the founder of El Teatro Campesino and the creator of the play Zoot Suit about Chicano teenagers in the 1940s. Zoot Suit starred Luis Valdez's younger brother, Daniel. Daniel is the associate producer of La Bamba and first proposed doing this film 14 years ago. I asked Luis, then Daniel, about what the song La Bamba meant to them.
La Bamba, especially, signaled a turn in rock and roll, and in a way a turn in my life. I took it as a sign of hope and inspiration.
Daniel, you're 9 years younger than your brother. What was your life like when Richie Valens' hits were on the radio, and what kind of memories do you have of that period?
Well, I was 10 years old when Richie died, and it was really a time for me when I kind of disappeared into the radio, so to speak, and got lost in the teenage world of rock and roll. And there's a term that they used to refer to Richie Valens, the late, great Richie Valens. You know, I always heard that on the radio. Here's another hit from the late, great Richie Valens. Outside of the fact that he epitomized what the whole teenage image of that rock and roll era was about, you know, there was a myth to Richie that stayed there and remains there.
As part of your research for the movie, you tracked down Richie Valens' family. How did you find them? Was it hard to do?
Yeah, it was very difficult. I mean, it's a little like chasing a shadow, you know. And it wasn't until actually about 1982, late 82, that I ran into a series of articles that were printed in that year that basically covered the crash and stuff like that. And it was from that that I was able to get somewhat of a family sketch. I found out his name was Valenzuela. But no mentioning about the family, where they went, what happened to them. I went back to Los Angeles, at least with a name, to try and track back. I knew that he had gone to Pacoima Junior High because of the stuff in the articles. But what about the people? What happened to the people? And it was in October, Halloween night of 1983, that I got a phone call from a friend of mine who was working the concession stand at our theater in San Juan, who said, "You got to come over here because Richie Valens' brother's standing here." And I said, "Yeah, sure." And so I went, and I met Mario, who was Richie Valens' younger brother. And it was from that that I found out that the family lived 16 miles away from where I lived.
So they were right under your nose
exactly,
the whole time.
Exactly. It was amazing.
What was Richie Valens' family's reaction to your desire to do a movie about Richie Valens?
Well, it was nothing new. They were very skeptical. At the time, you know, when I approached them, we didn't talk about anything specific in terms of a movie or anything. I just basically told them that I felt it was important to document any kind of background on Richie that we could get, because he was important to kids, and he was certainly important to Chicanos. You know? But little by little, I mean, the wall of resistance had to be dealt with. And it took about a year and a half just really to feel confident with one another.
Bob, who is the brother that really helped you find out what you needed to know to make the movie, is portrayed in the movie as a pretty nasty, selfish, violent kind of guy. He's the opposite of Richie Valens. Richie Valens is very, very, very nice, very respectful, very, very decent. And his brother is a petty thief, kind of an alcoholic who does drugs, abuses women. What did he think of his portrayal in the movie?
Well, he led us to that portrayal in the film. It's important to say, I think, that in spite of the fact that we had all of these photographs and clippings that told the surface of Richie Valens' career and the details of his death, there was very little that was personal. What remained was an icon. What remained was a saint. That left Bob. Bob was the key. And Bob opened up. I told him, look, our problem is that we need to understand Richie as a human being. He has to be real. So he began to talk, and he gave us not only an impression of Richie, but certainly an impression of them together as brothers, and an impression of his own role. He was not sparing in terms of the treatment of himself. I think he was harsh, almost too harsh, really, about himself. In a way, he was getting it all out. We took a long walk through Pacoima and many of the places where they'd played, and some of the which are in the movie, these scenes are in the movie. His last run, you know, toward his mother's house when he hears of Richie's death on the radio. All of that ended with Bob, with tears streaming down his face and saying he hadn't cried in 30 years, but that he was glad they'd finally gotten these things out and that he told me.
Let's talk about the casting of Richie Valens. Daniel, you were initially supposed to play Richie Valens, but you were too old by the time the movie was actually made. The way the movie was actually made, the actor who plays Richie Valens doesn't do the singing. It's the group Los Lobos,
right,
who performs all of the music, so it's lip-synced by the actor. Was that your intention from the start, to have the actor just do lip-syncing, or did you try to find someone who could sing as well as act?
We tried. We arrived after a long process of auditioning. We saw over 300 young men in Los Angeles alone, another couple of hundred in Chicago, New York, finally crossed the T nationally, went over to Texas. What we were looking for was an actor, singer, musician, which is an impossible combination, actually. I mean, we would have rediscovered a Richie Valens if we'd found this kid. So we set up a chart, sort of a grid pattern, and certain priorities on one side, certain priorities up the other side, and ended up, by process of elimination, deciding on an actor. We figured the most important thing is that this person had to be able to convey the humanity of Richie Valens. He had to have a goodness of spirit and yet a certain kind of ferocity.
And innocence. Huh?
Yes, and innocence. Consequently, we read whatever actors auditioned for Richie, we read them as Bob as well, you see, and vice versa, because they had to be brothers. And so they had to have this interlocking relationship. And I think Lou has done a fantastic job of not only communicating the spirit of Richie Valens, the goodness of heart, but also his ferocity on the stage.
In part of the movie, Richie Valens has really made the American dream. He has a suburban home. He has a new car. He has an attractive white blonde girlfriend and hit records. And you don't begrudge him that. You don't condemn him for his assimilation or his prosperity. And I had a feeling that a few years ago, maybe you might have.
Oh, yeah. I mean, a few years ago it was a different time. You're talking about the 1960s in some ways. You know, it was a period of ethnic self-definition, you know, part of self-determination. Richie was a product of the 50s, before the 60s, but he assumed that the dream was valid for him, too. I mean, he didn't put any obstacles before himself and say, oh, I can't have a blonde, blue-eyed girlfriend, or I can't be a rock and roll singer. He didn't put all those obstacles in front of himself. He went for it, and he achieved it. And I think that's a tribute to him. He opened the door for a lot of Hispanics who may not feel that they can participate fully. Daniel and I, through our work in Hollywood, are trying to open many doors, you know. And, I mean, well, you look at us. I mean, we look Indian, you know. And but we're Anglo-Hispanics. We speak English. You know, we've eaten hamburgers all our lives and hot dogs and, you know, played baseball. I mean, we're Americans. Come on, give us a break. I mean, that's what the story is.
But I think it's taken 30 years to look back and look at Richie Valens and see what his contributions really were.
I want to thank you both for talking with us.
It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
Daniel and Luis Valdez talking about their film La Bamba, which opens on July 24th.